السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله، عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في قرآنه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is no doubt our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. We ask Him Azza wa Jal to shower His choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, first and foremost I would like to remind myself and then all of you all present here to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the numerous bounties and favors that He has conferred upon us. Indeed, they are numerous in number, just as He states in the Noble Quran, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to try and count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would fail to encompass all of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because at times, we tend to take things for granted. As human beings, we tend to remain oblivious to that which is obvious, that which is right in front of our eyes, we tend to ignore them, we tend to take all those blessings for granted. You know, there's the story of Sherlock Holmes. How many of you all know Sherlock Holmes? All know Sherlock Holmes? Yeah. So Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson. You know Dr. Watson, right? That's Sherlock Holmes. Sidekick, kind of a character. Yeah. So both of them went on a camping trip. Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson. And night fell upon them. And Sherlock Holmes, he looked at Dr. Watson and very seriously he asked him, "Dr. Watson, can you please look up and tell me what you see?" Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. "Can you please look up and tell me what you can see?" Dr. Watson, he looked up and he said, "Well, Sherlock, I can see the heavens, I can see the skies." Then Sherlock Holmes said, "Okay, Watson, what can you deduce from that?" Because after all, they were detectives, right? The detectives. "So what can you deduce from that?" Dr. Watson, he went on to say, "Well, I can see many stars. And so I presume that there has to be many universes, many galaxies, and many planets. And there's bound to be life on all of those planets." You know, he started to, you know, go on. Sherlock Holmes, he looked at Dr. Watson and said, "Well, doctor, you don't have to go that far. You know, you don't have to go that far. It's just basically someone has stolen our tent. And we need to go find our tent." So we tend to remain oblivious of that which is obvious at times. So it is upon us to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the numerous bounties and favors that He has conferred upon us. And my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, as human beings, it is of utmost importance that we do not deny our natural inclinations. We should not deny our natural inclinations. And these natural inclinations are the inclinations that we have towards Al-Akhirah. I'm not talking about all inclinations, but I'm talking about this specific one. And that is in regard to the inclination towards that which is eternal, that which is permanent, Al-Akhirah, the hereafter. Because if we were to analyze a human being, our bodies consist of a few elements. Like for example, the body, number one. And then you have a ruh. Anybody knows what it is? The soul, right? the soul. I mentioned yesterday at Al-Khadim, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Noble Quran, they ask you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about the ruh. قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. Say that the ruh is from the matters of my Lord. Yeah. So the body consists, a human being consists of a few elements, like we just said, the body, the ruh, and then we also have something else, a nafs. Some people, you know, have come to a conclusion that the nafs and the ruh are one and the same, but in reality they are two different elements. Nafs is different, ruh is different. Yeah. So the ruh is the soul, and the nafs is, you can translate it as one's ego, one's lower self, one's base desires. So we have a few elements in play now, the body, the soul, the nafs. Let's focus on the body and the soul. What is the body created of? Look, I'm not the only one going to do all the talking here. I want you all as well to interact and engage, yeah? Then I'm going to become tired. So what is the body made of?
Water.
Water, mashallah. Very scientific reply, huh? The body, according to the Quran, min tween, right? Clay. Alright? So anyway, water, clay, whatever, right? It's anyway things that are related to dunya. Yes or no? Things that are related to dunya. We have narrations of the Prophet ﷺ that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to create Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Azza wa Jal, He sent, this is mentioned in the book of Imam al-Kathir rahimahullah, al-Bidayah wa al-Nihaya, Allah Azza wa Jal sent Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam to get a few handfuls of earth. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he came down to grab the few handfuls of earth, but the earth did not want to give it up. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam did not have the heart to take it by force. He went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and informed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about it. Allah azza wa jal then sent Mika'il alayhi salatu wasalam. The same thing happened. The earth started to plead, cry and weep. Mika'il alayhi salatu wasalam also did not have the heart. He went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until finally, Allah azza wa jal appointed who? Malakul Maut, the angel of death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appointed Malakul Maut to go grab the handfuls of earth. So Malakul Maut, he comes down to earth and the same thing happens. Earth starts to plead, weep and cry. Malakul Maut said, look, I have been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you know, I fear going back to Him, not abiding His command, and He took the handfuls of earth by force from different parts of the planet and went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Allah azza wa jal saw that Malakul Maut, he had fulfilled this particular commandment, he had fulfilled this duty, Allah azza wa jal appointed him to be the one to extract the souls. And from there onwards, he was appointed as Malakul Maut, the angel of death. So nevertheless, coming back to the point that I wanted to highlight, our bodies are made from elements that are related to dunya. So our bodies need nourishment or not? We need nourishment. When we become hungry, we can't help but think of food. When we become thirsty, wherever we look, we see, you know, water. We want to quench our thirst. So we need to nourish our body. We nourish our bodies with things that are related to dunya, like say fruits, vegetables, water, everything that is of dunya. Now let's talk about the ruh. We don't have a lot of information in regard to the ruh, because just like I said, it is something from the matters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala breathed into Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. So we can come to a conclusion that the ruh min amri rabbi, it is from the matters of our Lord, and it is related to al-akhirah. It is related to al-akhirah. It is related to the eternal and permanent abode. And just as how our bodies need nourishment, and just as how we nourish our bodies with that which is from dunya, our souls need nourishment as well. Our souls need nourishment as well. But can you feed a pizza and nourish your soul? Can you feed some pasta, some noodles, some spaghetti, or nasi goreng perhaps, you know? Yeah? Or whatever it is. Can you feed your soul and nourish your soul? You can't. You have to feed your soul with that which is related to the spiritual realm. You need to nourish your soul with that which is related to the spiritual realm. And the best way to nourish one's soul is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the best of nourishment is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The best of nourishment. Imam ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, He is reported to have written a book titled Al-Wabilu Sayyim, in other words, Drops of Dew. And in this particular book, he goes on to list almost about 100 benefits, okay, that are related to dhikr, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from them he mentions, because time does not permit for us to discuss the whole list, but I'll try to touch on a few. From them he mentions one, that is that the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthens an individual. In the sense, it spiritually strengthens an individual. It strengthens the spiritual levels of an individual. Because see, you and I, we live in this modern era, but we are all suffering from this, and at times we can all relate to this. We all go through this phase where we feel this spiritual vacuum. We feel so empty from within, and that is, you know why? Because we need to nourish our souls. We need to nourish our souls. We need to nourish our souls. So, in that he mentions in his book that the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it nourishes the soul of an individual as well as the heart of an individual. And if we even look at the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, what is been reported from him sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that he is reported to have said that the comparison between an individual who does dhikr, in the sense the individual who remembers Allah and who does not remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is like the living and the dead. Is like the living and the dead. So we're talking about spiritual life and death. The person can be walking around, he can be doing everything, but if he's not remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's spiritually dead. He's spiritually considered a mayyit. Because he's not remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's dead from inside. He does not feel any spirituality from within him. His soul needs to be nourished. And this is why Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentions a statement of his teacher, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, in that particular book, that dhikr, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the heart of an individual, is like water for a fish. It's like water for a fish. Can you imagine how a fish struggles when it is taken out of water? Likewise, when the heart of an individual is distanced from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it flounders and struggles. Because it needs the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It needs the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, in general his practice used to be that after Salatul Fajr, he used to sit down remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until forenoon. Until forenoon. You know, the time of duha. And he used to say, this is my breakfast. What is our breakfast? Cornflakes, cereal, yeah? This is our breakfast. But the breakfast of Shaykh al-Islam used to be the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He used to say, this is my dhikr, this is my breakfast. And if I don't have this breakfast, my strength will deplete. In the sense, he was talking about his spiritual strength. If I don't have this breakfast on a daily basis, my strength, the levels of my strength start to deplete and start to go down. Allahu Akbar. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he goes on to mention so many other benefits in this particular book of his. So many other benefits. Like say for example, he goes on to mention that the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like a fortress for an individual. And he mentions a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions a beautiful example, a metaphor. Just think of this. Say an individual is being chased by his enemies. He's being chased by his enemies and he's running, running, running. He's running away from them. He's being chased by his enemies. They're close behind. And then he comes upon a fortress. He enters this fortress, a strong fortified fortress. He goes in and takes protection. And that fortress protects him from his enemies. Likewise, a believer, the minute he adheres to the dhikr of Allah, the minute he brings in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is within that fortress. And he is protected from his enemy. And who is his enemy? Shaitan. He is protected from shaitan within that fortress. So this is of utmost importance. And that's why I said at the beginning, that as believers, we are not supposed to deny our natural inclination towards al-akhirah. Our heart yearns for that which we love. Just as I said, when we are hungry, we can't think of anything other than food. When we are thirsty, we can't think of anything other than water. When we are in love, we can't think of anything other than our beloved. I'm talking about love when you're in marriage and not outside marriage. When you're in love, you can't think of anything other than your beloved. And when you talk about love, love has so many shades. So many shades.
And the pinnacle of love is to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the peak of love. The pinnacle of love, to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because He, Azza wa Jal, is the creator of love, and He is the fountainhead of love. You know, Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, when you talk about dhikr, when you talk about the hearts, you can't help but keep quoting him, because he was known as a specialist of hearts. He was not a heart surgeon, but he was the specialist of hearts in the sense, he used to deal a lot with the spiritual side of the hearts. And he used to talk about the spiritual maladies, spiritual diseases of the hearts. He used to talk about the cures of the hearts. He has a very profound statement. He states that if the tree of love, إِذَا غُرِسَتْ شَجَرَةُ الْمَحَبَّةِ فِي الْقَلْبِ وَإِذَا سُقِيَتْ بِمَاءِ الْإِخْلَاصِ وَمُتَابَعَةِ الْحَبِيبِ أَثْمَرَتْ أَنْوَاعَ الثِّمَارِ وَآتَتْ أُكُلَهَا كُلَّ حِينٍ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهَا أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتٌ فِي قَرَارِ الْقَلْبِ وَفَرْعُهَا مُتَّصِلٌ بِسِدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَهَى. If the tree of love is planted, what kind of love are we talking about here? The love between Layla and Majnoon? No. The love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that tree of love is planted in the heart of an individual, and if that tree of love is watered with what? Bima'il ikhlas, with the waters of ikhlas, with the pure water of ikhlas, sincerity, wa mutaba'atil habib, and following the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, you know what will happen to that tree? That tree will start to bear fruit. And the roots of that tree will take strong hold in the heart of that individual, and its branches will reach Sidratul Muntaha. Sidratul Muntaha was the utmost boundary, where you cannot pass beyond that. The Sidratul Muntaha. The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Sidratul Muntaha during Isra and Mi'raj. The branches will reach unto that. This is a metaphor. This is an example to give us an idea that this tree of love needs to be planted in our hearts. The tree of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because obviously, like I just said, when you are in love, what do? You keep thinking of your beloved. So if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will keep remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will keep remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will keep contemplating and pondering about the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the grandeur, about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the ayat I read at the beginning, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. That indeed in the creation of the heavens and the earth, in the creation of the transitioning of the night and day, there are signs, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. There are signs for those who have understanding, for those who have a strong intellect. الَذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. And they are those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst they're standing, whilst they're sitting, whilst they're lying down on their side. Allahu Akbar. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ. And they ponder, they reflect, they contemplate. رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. O our Lord, O Allah, You have not created any of these things aimlessly, without an objective, without a purpose. رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ. Glory be unto you. فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Save us from the blazing fire of Jahannam. Allahu Akbar. The more we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the closer we become to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the closer we stand the chance of attaining wilaya. Not masjid wilaya. Attaining wilaya, the friendship of Allah. Is it walaya or wilaya, the masjid? Wilaya, is it? Alright. Must be something to do with that anyway. Attaining wilaya, the friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You understand? A beautiful hadith Qudusi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, okay, that Allah azza wa jal said, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. Beautiful hadith. أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. أَنَا مَعَهُ إِذَا ذَكَرَنِي. Alright? I am according to how my slave thinks of me. I am with him when he remembers me. If he remembers me to himself, I remember him to myself. إِذَا ذَكَرَنِي فِي مَلَئٍ ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي مَلَئٍ خَيْرٍ مِنْ. If he remembers me in a gathering, I remember him in a gathering that is much better. Allahu Akbar. Amidst the angels, obviously. Okay? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, this is not a Quran ayah, but hadith Qudusi. Alright? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reports this. إِذَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ بِشِبْرٍ if he comes close to me a handspan, I go close to him a cubit. Okay? If he comes to me a cubit's length, I go to him an arm's length. And if he comes to me, إِذَا أَتَانِي مَاشِيًا تَقَرَّبْتُ إِلَيْهِ هَرْوَلًا أو أَتَيْتُهُ هَرْوَلًا أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. The narration goes along the lines of these words. If he comes walking to me, I go running to him. Allah Akbar. If you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah remembers you. فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُونِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he commands us, remember me, I'll remember you. At times we as human beings, we are weaklings. Only when we go through difficulties, when we go through challenges, trials, that's when we remember Allah, that's when we cry unto Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah. But when we are enjoying life, when we are happy, when we are living in affluence, when we are living in luxury, we tend to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not the case of a believer. Because the life of a believer revolves around two things, shukr and sabr. Shukr and sabr. Another amazing hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. How amazing are the affairs of a believer. Why? Because his life revolves around two elements, or two phases rather. He's either enjoying a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where he renders gratitude, shukr. Or he's going through a trial, he's going through a difficulty, he's going through a challenge in life and he holds on to patience. Both of these matters are good for him. Shukr as well as sabr. And now when you look at the hadith that I just mentioned, the first wording, even though you know I could generally, you should generally base a complete lecture in that regard, but I'll touch on it. أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. I am according to how my slave thinks of me. This is a very important concept in Islam, a central theme that talks about husnul dhan. We are supposed to think good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're supposed to think good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not supposed to think bad about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah, he mentions that when an individual does good deeds, he only thinks good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he only expects good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But a sinner, he thinks bad about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he's worried. Allah is going to punish me. Allah is going to do this. Allah is going to do that to me because he's a sinner. So he tends to think bad about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this concept is very broad. I mean, in the sense, when talking about husnul dhan, you're supposed to think good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're supposed to think things that befit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of His sifat, in terms of His attributes, in terms of His qualities. And then in terms of, for example, our creed, La ilaha illallah wahda, la sharika lah. We should not associate partners unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of this comes under husnul dhan. We should think good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's what is, you know, the explanation in regard to that first particular sentence, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, coming back to dhikr, like I said, Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned so many things, so many benefits in terms of dhikr. And from them are the great deal of virtues we stand to reap in terms of these adhkar, these various adhkar. Like say for example, one particular hadith talks about Jannah, about paradise. The lands of paradise are fertile, but they're all, you know, how can I say, bare. Not barren, they're fertile, but they're all bare. Why? We need to do the planting now. Because remember, the only size of regret of the Ahlul Jannah, of the dwellers of Jannah, because we won't have any worry in Jannah, we'll all be happy. But there'll be one worry. There'll just be one sigh of regret that we will sigh. What is that? Oh, how I wish I said one more Subhanallah. How I wish I said one more Alhamdulillah. How I wish I said one more Allahu Akbar, because I'll have one more tree in my orchards. I'll have one more tree in my garden. Because they're fertile lands, we need to do the planting from here. For each Subhanallah, for each Alhamdulillah, for each Allahu Akbar, there is a tree being planted there. There is a palace being built there for us in Jannah. So we must do the building from here. We must do the planting from here and we harvest there, inshaAllah ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala admit us all into Jannah. Ameen. Now talking about a few of the adhkar that have been reported to us from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and before we go into that, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, it is of utmost importance that in terms of ibadah, we are supposed to follow the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Say for example, I think, what time is the adhan? Has the adhan been called out, Salatul Isha? Yes or no? Called out? Okay. So say for example, if you were to pray Salatul Isha, and now after the talk, mashallah, you feel all spiritually rejuvenated, and you're like, Shaykh, you know what? Today we feel like praying Salatul Isha 20 rakat.
because we are all feeling, you know, very spiritually rejuvenated. We want to pray 20 rak'ah. Can you please conduct 20 rak'ah for us, Salatul Isha? Now even, you know, come to think of it, it's a good deed, right? It's a good deed. But do you think it will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You're not praying 2 rak'ah. Okay, me being a musafir, yes, I can pray 2 rak'ah. But all of you being residents, you have to pray 4 rak'ah. You're not praying 2. You're saying, you know, can we pray 20? But it's not going to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because you're not following the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, let alone praying 20 rak'ah. Say, what if you think of going and standing by Damansara for 4 hours, right in the middle of the street with only one leg, standing on one leg. I'm going to do that as an ibadah. Will it be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It won't be. So whatever ibadah we do, we must do it according to the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because at times you have individuals who, you know, block the whole room, you know, darken the curtains, and, you know, burn all kinds of things, sit in the middle of the room, they dance, they move around, they call it dhikr. They call it the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sad part is, please go to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Have you ever come across any sahabi or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever doing such things? No. Have you ever heard a hadith that mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat in a dark room and he was dancing, moving around and doing dhikr? Have you ever heard of such a thing? No. So we too have to follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And at times there are different types of adhkar, different types of adhkar that we must be wary of. And we must try to stick to that which has been taught to us by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are plenty of adhkar that have been taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know? So we must stick to the authentic ahadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned those adhkar. Stick to them and hope for the best from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say for example, one particular hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said. The individual who says, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير, 100 times during a single day, look at the rewards. He gets the reward of emancipating 10 slaves, number one, freeing 10 slaves. He gets the reward of 100 good deeds being credited into his account. 100 good deeds. 100 sins are erased from his account. And no one can, you know, be equivalent to his reward except for the individual who reads more of that adhkar than him. Say if someone else reads 200 times of that adhkar, then that individual would obviously surpass him. But if not, he would have gained the most amount of rewards in terms of that particular adhkar. Another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beautiful hadith. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah mentioned the hadith. Kalimatan khafifatan ala al-lisan, thaqilatan fil mizan, habibatani ila al-Rahman, subhanallahi wa bihamdi, subhanallahi al-azim. A beautiful hadith. Kalimatan, 2 sentences or 2 words. Khafifatani ala al-lisan, very light on your tongue. Thaqilatani fil mizan, but heavy on your scales. Habibatani ila al-Rahman, most beloved unto al-Rahman, the most beneficent, the most merciful. What are these 2 sentences? Subhanallahi wa bihamdi, subhanallahi al-azim. How short and sweet, but a beautiful dhikr. Subhanallahi wa bihamdi, subhanallahi al-azim. Another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, this too has been mentioned by Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. The individual who reads subhanallahi wa bihamdi 100 times, his sins are forgiven, even if they be like the foam of the sea. Subhanallahi wa bihamdi 100 times, his sins are forgiven, even if they be like the foam of the sea. Allahu Akbar. So easy. But the thing is, you know, we tend to lag and we tend to become lazy in terms of these adhkar, thereby losing a lot in terms of such great rewards. Allahu Akbar. For example, if you take Sayyidul Istighfar, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, the one who reads, Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa anta, خلقتني وأنا عبدك وأنا على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعت أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت أبوء لك بنعمتك علي وأبوء بذنبي فاغفر لي فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. The one who reads Sayyidul Istighfar, اللهم أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت. Oh Allah, you are my Lord, there is no God other than you. خَلَقَتَنِي, you created me. وَأَنَا عَبْدُكَ, I am your slave. وَأَنَا عَلَى عَهْدِكَ, I am upon your covenant, your promise. وَوَعْدِكَ, مستطعت, as much as I am capable to do so in terms of that. You understand? وأعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت. I seek protection, I seek refuge in you from the evil that I have committed. أبوء لك بنعمتك علي. I acknowledge all the benefits, all the bounties and favors that you have conferred upon me. And I also acknowledge the sins that I have committed. فَغْفِرْ لِي فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. Forgive me, for indeed there is no one who can forgive other than you. What does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in this regard? He sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, the individual who reads this in the morning with firm conviction, if he dies before evening, huwa min ahli al-jannah. He is from the people of Jannah. He is from the dwellers of Jannah. How easy. The one who reads it with firm conviction, if he dies before evening, he's from the people of Jannah. If he reads it at night or in the evening, and if he dies during the night, before it becomes morning, he's from the people of Jannah. Allahu Akbar. How easy. So simple. All of these things have been taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, if I'm not mistaken, it was Juwayriya radiallahu anha, his wife, he sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam left her apartment, if you will, where she was staying. This was during the time for Salatul Fajr. She had, just finished Salatul Fajr, or she was praying Salatul Fajr. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only returned during the time for Salatul Dhuha. And when he came back, she was still seated in the same position. In other words, she was remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught her 4 sentences that if she were to read that, it would be more weightier, more rewarding in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than all the time she spent from Salatul Fajr until Duha. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, adada khalqih, wa ridha nafsih, wa zinata arshih, wa midada kalimat. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, glory be unto you, ya Allah, all praises unto you. Adada khalqih, to the number of your creation. Allahu Akbar. Can any one of you tell me the accurate number of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When I was in the Maldives, I was there for the whole month of Ramadan. I met a couple of divers, professional divers. Even I went diving, mashallah, it was a good experience. These divers, they said that each time they go into the ocean, they come out experiencing something new and seeing something new. There are so many creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deep within the ocean. And do you know there are even depths that human beings have still not traversed or gone into as yet? So we don't know the creations that are hiding in those dark depths, those creations that are being sustained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why we call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Rabbuna. He's our sustainer, He's our nourisher, He's the one who sustains all of His creation. Allah jalla wa ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are saying, glory be unto you, praise be unto you, the number of your creation. Allahu Akbar. وَرِضَى نَفْسِهِ وَزِنَةَ عَرْشِهِ وَمِدَادَ كَلِمَاتِ. We're praising Him. These are all words of praise, equivalent to the weight of your throne, ya Allah, equivalent to the ink that can record all of the words that praise you, Allahu Akbar. All words of praise, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Imam Al-Qayyim rahimahullah is reported to have said in that same book that in terms of dhikr, the best of dhikr is to combine glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Glorifying Him and praising Him. That's why we say Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Subhanallah al-Azim. We are glorifying Him and praising Him. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, talking about dhikr, don't think that dhikr is only confined to perhaps sitting in a corner and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not the only form of dhikr. In the sense, for example, salah is the greatest form of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-salah. Why? Because scholars rahimahumullah state, now, whilst you are in salah, you're not supposed to be quiet at any posture. In general, you're supposed to keep on remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? When you're in qiyam, what are you doing? Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. What are you saying? All praise be to the Lord of the worlds. You're praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright? That's when you're in qiyam, you're reading the Quran and you're remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you go to ruku'u, what are you doing? Subhana rabbi al-azim. You're glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In sajda, you're glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the jalsa bayna sajdatayn, sitting between the two sajdas, you're glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So salah is the greatest form of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Reading the Quran, another great form of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? This is the speech of our beloved maker, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're reading it.
And for us, it is an ibadah to read it. We are being rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But like I mentioned yesterday, I had a talk at Al Khadim. We spoke about the art of contemplation. You see, even in terms of dhikr, you see, all of these ibadah, the contemplation is applicable to all ibadah. We're not supposed to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, just for the sake of remembering. Some people, they sit down, oh, I've got to finish 33 subhanallah, 33 alhamdulillah, 34 Allah. So let me, you know, set a world record. That's not how we're supposed to do dhikr. Instead, we're supposed to contemplate and reflect. Subhanallah, what does it mean? Glory be unto Allah. Now, I just said this zikr. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, adada khalqi. Equivalent to the number of your creation, ya Allah. So you need to think. So the number of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Has anyone come up with a census or whatever it is that has, you know, that has accurately recorded all of the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. We need to think of the grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whilst we make these adhkar, whilst we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we read the Quran, we need to contemplate, we need to ponder, we need to think about the meanings. When we are in salah, say for example, when we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, we must remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Glory be unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, we need to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, salah, reading the Quran, and all the other ibadat are generally great forms of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with that, you have the adhkar that we just mentioned. The words that you say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. You can say all of these words and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallah wahdahu, la sharika lah, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. You can say these words and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of the other adhkar as well. And there are other forms too. Scholars rahimahumullah mention that gatherings of this nature. What are we doing? Are we talking about actors and actresses? Are we cracking jokes the whole time? Are we talking about things or matters related to dunya? No, we're talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these gatherings are also known as gatherings where we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then scholars rahimahumullah mention that gatherings, for example, where rulings of the sharia are being taught. Like, you know, this is a talk. Like, you have a proper course. Say, for example, the rulings of salah are being taught. The rulings of fasting are being taught. These are all rulings set by whom? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you are reminding the people about the rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The commandments of Allah, the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is also a form of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, say, for example, amr bil ma'roof wa nahi anil munkar. Enjoining good, forbidding evil. You know, when you encourage others to do good, or when you see someone doing something wrong, going against the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to go and tell that individual, brother or sister, what you're doing is wrong. This is also a form of dhikr, because you are reminding that individual of what? Of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say for example, if he is sinning, you are reminding him of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are reminding him that you know what you're doing is wrong. And after all, as believers, we are supposed to remind one another. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ We're supposed to remind one another. Because reminders benefit and profit the believers. You see? So this is also a form of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Enjoining good, forbidding evil. And then da'wah is also a great form of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're going around talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Reminding people about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Propagating the message of Islam. Telling them about the teachings of Islam. Calling them to Islam. This is also a form of dhikr. So we need to understand that dhikr has a very... It's basically a very broad spectrum that covers a lot of aspects. All of these ibadat come under dhikr. But in general, when you talk about it, or rather specifically when you talk about it, it is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all those actions that are closely related to remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll mention one more benefit, and with that we'll wrap off inshallah ta'ala. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentions in his book, the book that I mentioned, Al-Wabil al-Sayyib, that the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala erases evil deeds. Just as we mentioned earlier too, that when you say la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk wa lahul hamdu wa ala kulli shay'in qadir 100 times, what happens? 100 good deeds are credited to your account and 100 sins are erased. Okay? So he says, in general, whenever an individual does dhikr, it erases his evil deeds. So at times, you know, you're walking, you're driving,
You're perhaps standing in a queue. You know, in reality, you need to concentrate, contemplate. We mentioned three factors yesterday: time, space, and concentration. You need to bring all of that in. But otherwise, even if you cannot bring those factors in, just keep your tongue moist in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me mention a story, and with that we'll wrap off inshallah ta'ala. There was once a scholar, and this is mentioned in the books of history. There was once a scholar. His students once went up to him and said, "Ya Sheikh, we would like you to tell us of a very important incident that took place in your life." He thought for a while and he said, "You know what, I'll tell you of the most important incident." In other words, a pivotal incident that basically changed my whole life. I'll tell you of that incident. And then he went on to narrate his own life story. He told them, "Today you see me as a Sheikh, you see me as a scholar. But long time back, I was a youngster like you all. And I was an individual who used to commit a lot of sins. I used to commit a lot of sins. And I used to take pride in committing sins. In the sense, I had a little black book and I used to record all of the sins that I used to commit and do. I mean, I had this habit of committing, as you know, whenever I felt like doing a sin, I used to go and do it, and I used to take pride in it. I used to come back and record it as a trophy in my book that, oh, I committed this sin." One day I was walking down the street and I saw this beautiful lady. And the minute I saw her, you know, evil desires started to crop in my heart, and these lustful feelings towards her started to crop in my heart, and I felt like I desired her. So I went right up to her and I invited her towards sin. At the very beginning she refused, but when I kept insisting, she finally agreed, and she said that, "I need this much." She mentioned X amount of money. "I need this much of money if I am to indulge in this sin with you." The man agreed. The one who was narrating the story, he said, "I agreed, and I agreed to pay her that amount." I took her and we went to a private area to indulge in that which is haram. In other words, in adultery, in fornication. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. But now when I was about to commit the act, and when I was about to touch her, she started to tremble like a leaf. And then this surprised me, and I asked her, "You were the one who agreed to come with me, and you were the one who fixed the price as well. Now why are you trembling? I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to harm you." Then she said, "My brother, fear Allah. I would never have agreed to this. And this is one of the reasons why I did not agree at the very beginning. But it's because of poverty and hunger. I have two daughters back at home who I need to feed. There's no one to support us. It's because of hunger I agreed to do this. But yet I fear Allah, and I admonish you to fear Allah as well." The minute she said this, the man says, the scholar, he's narrating the story, "This struck a chord in my heart, and I was filled with this fear, but I couldn't understand what it was. I immediately got up and I said, 'Keep the money,' and I walked away. I did not indulge in that which was haram. I was on my way home, and then I thought, you know what, she might need provisions. I went back, I bought provisions, I bought things to, you know, help her out, and I went and kept it by the door, and I headed home. I went home. No sooner I went home," and he says, "I had the good habit of, you know, updating my mother in general. I used to tell my mother of everything that used to happen in my life. So this too was a very important incident, and it, you know, I was very disturbed. So I went to my mother and I told her about what happened. I told her about what happened. And as I was telling her the story, my mother started to weep, she started to cry. And then she looked at me and she said, 'Dear son, I know of that little black book of yours that you record all of your evil deeds. I came across that book and it broke my heart. But today, this is the first good deed that you have done. So please, I implore, I beg you, go and record this good deed in that book of yours.'" The man thinks for a while and he thinks, "Yes, why don't I do it?" He goes to his room. He takes this black book to record this first good deed of his. This black book that was filled with all of his evil deeds, his trophy book. He takes the book, he opens the book. Lo and behold, all the pages were blank. All the pages were blank. It was a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was only one ayah that was written in the middle of the book. "Inna al-hasanati yudhibna sayyi'at." That indeed, good deeds erase evil deeds. Good deeds delete your evil deeds. From that day onwards, I turned my life. I started seeking knowledge, and I have become this scholar that
you know of, and he narrated the story to his students. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us not lose hope. Let us not lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal is ever forgiving, He is all merciful. Let us turn to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us remember Him often. Let us never ever lose hope. Let us not despair in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He rightfully states in the noble Quran,
قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ.
قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, O my slaves, الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا, the ones who have transgressed or the ones who have wronged themselves, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Indeed, He is the most forgiving, the most merciful. So do not lose hope. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remember Allah azza wa jal as much as possible, for He will remember you as well, and He will give you the very best in this world as well as the hereafter, just as He says in the noble Quran, if you are thankful unto Him, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, I will give you manifold. وَلَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. But on the other hand, if you reject the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is severe. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. I thank Allah azza wa jal for uniting us all here. May He unite us in the gardens of Jannah with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. وَآخِرْ دَعْوَايَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. جَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرٌ.